Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm your host, Vince Montigli. It's May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo, 2015. So everybody just had to do some early week partying later on tonight. Well, we've got coming up two very special guests, NHRA Pro Stock Champ Eric Ender Stevens, and Shauna Robinson should be joining us later on in the show. Been a rather light week for racing, only NASCAR in action in ARCA out of Talladega Super Speedway. You remember last week we had Sarah Cornett Ching calling in, got her first run at Talladega, and they were pitted out there the day after the show. And it kind of turned out well for the girl. I mean, she was able to stay on the lead lap first things time this season. And she finished her best finish ever, eighth, and moved up two spots in the points in the ARCA season. So good for her. I figured I'd throw that out there because she was just on the show, and who knows, maybe she'll get her first win in a little bit. But anyway, the race was won by Blake Jones, who came in second. Cole Powell was third. Fourth was Brandon Jones. Fifth was Russ Duggar. Seventh was Matt Krasuski, and Scott Sheldon was seventh. Though the Mastis was Sarah Cornett Ching was eighth, ninth Bo the Mastis, and tenth Tyler Audi. So that's how the top 10 rounds out there. The guy that was leading ran out of gas, which was kind of a shame. But that's what happens. He didn't get enough gas in. I think it was Tommy Hess or Cherry Hill. He had the lead going into like the last lap and ran out of gas, which always kind of stinks. So couldn't have a little problem getting the fuel in the tank. It would have been nice to see a guy from my local area take the win, but it didn't happen. Well, anyway, joining us right now is my very special guest, the one and only Pro Stock Champ of the NHRA, Erica Ender Stevens. Erica, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. How are you doing?
Good. Last we talked was before the season started, and it looked like you had a little bit of a slow start there, but you came on gangbusters the last two events. I mean,
we've been trying. I mean, it's, we had two pretty significant rule changes, one being the fuel and one being the tire that we have to run, and just took us a little bit of time to get acclimated to that and acquire the data that we needed with those new two, you know, parts of the puzzle to make it work for us. So it just took a little bit of time, and I guess the turning point for us was the test session on the Monday following the Charlotte event.
Because I was wondering, and that's, you know, not happened. What they do? What did they change to the fuel in the tires that kind of you had to get some new data on?
Yeah, we went from VP fuel to having to run Sunoco. And it's a heavier, slower-burning fuel. And the Goodyear tires, we're still running Goodyears, but they switched compounds on us. They went from the 2200 to what we're having to run now, and it's definitely way different. So we just had to do some testing and figure it out.
Yeah, I didn't realize the fuel made that much of a difference running different brands that I could understand a tire compound. Maybe they run a little stickier or less, a little harder for, I guess, durability.
It's a softer compound. They were able to run them quicker. Like before, on the old tires, we had to do, you know, a bunch of burnouts and then four or five full passes before we'd ever even take the tires to the racetrack. The new tires, you can do a burnout, one burnout, and back up and unclutch the car. So it's, you know, definitely saves us money on the front end, but we're finding that they're not, you know, lasting as long on the back end. So just took us some time to figure out how to run the tires, and the fuel has been just detrimental. I mean, it's horrible, but, you know, we're making do with it. Everybody's been dealt the same card, and it's like I said, slower, heavier, and slower burning. So, you know, it's cost us $250,000, but we're figuring it out.
$250,000. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, we had spent so much time and money developing carburetors and intake manifolds and all the components that worked with the other fuel, and now it's very different. So we will figure it out, though. I promise you that.
I think you pretty much got it down, considering the last two runs you took the K&N challenge and then doubled up the next day during elimination, taking home the Wally. And then you go to your home state, hometown at Houston, and smoke the field there, and your reaction times are scary.
Thank
anymore.
You. Well, I want it really bad. I want to win. My team wants to win. And, you know, starting off the way we did, we're just, you know, really hungry for it. So we're going to do the best that we can to defend our title. And, you know, the competition is pretty fierce out there. It was last year. It definitely is this year. And it's going to be a, you know, knockdown, drag out fight to the end again, but it's going to be fun.
Well, I guess half the fun of doing that. And then I tried to get you on right after your first win, but you had to do some champion things throughout the first pitch of the baseball game. So I was wondering which game you got to throw it out at.
Texas A&M game at College Station. That's where I went to college. So it was a really cool opportunity. I was nervous, to be quite honest. I'm not. That's one sport I never played, was softball or baseball. I was volleyball, basketball, track, and golf, and I played all kinds of stuff, but never that. So I was just thankful that I made it to the home plate. I didn't want to, like, dribble it on the ground or something stupid. So it was definitely a cool experience.
I thought maybe it would have been the Houston Astros game or something, but hey, that's pretty cool. This is your alma mater there.
Yep.
So looking forward, now you go to Atlanta. And
yep.
Starting to get into the meat of the summer, so it seems the closer the events run together, you seem to have a more enjoyable time, and I guess you keep that momentum going, you don't have to worry about off week.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really excited to head to Atlanta with the car that we have now. We've got a really good race car, and I've been driving pretty well. On Sunday, this coming Sunday, I head to Oklahoma, and we're going to do some testing up in Tulsa on Monday and Tuesday prior to Atlanta. So hopefully we'll have all our ducks in a row and things will be good. I've never won three national events in a row. You know, I've won two in a row and runnered up the third a couple years ago, but this is a cool opportunity to break another record. So I'm excited heading there. You're right, as the summer months come to us, the races are stacked more and more on top of each other. So it's definitely fun and action-packed summer. I'm really excited. I enjoy being on the road.
And there's something else I got to check out and ask you about. The Racing in Red video that you're turning into a film. You want to give out a plug?
Yeah. If the fans want to check out racingandred.com, we actually hired a film crew last year. My team owner, Richard Freeman, did, and they were with us from the initial test in Phoenix prior to Pomona of our championship season all the way through the year, and they were at Pomona when we won the championship. So all of that is on film, and we're going to compile it into like a documentary or a movie. And what we've done is put Racing in Red on this Kickstarter campaign, which allows fans to to donate and to be a part of the process, a part of our team. You know, different levels of donations allow you to be a crew member or, you know, get a team shirt or an autographed pair of shoes, like fire shoes or a parachute or, you know, hospitality opportunities. So there's all different levels of involvement that are available. And then, of course, corporate, you know, allows you to have your logos on our race car and stuff like that. So all of the information is on racinginred.com, and it's such a cool opportunity. I'm really excited about it. You know, signing autographs at the racetrack and spending time with fans. One of the most frequent questions I get asked is, when's the sequel to Ride on Track coming out? So this is our opportunity to show fans a behind-the-scenes look at what we do and everything that we went through last year for our championship season, the highs, the lows, the time back at the shop, time at home, time out with the team. I mean, they were there for everything. So it's going to give the fans a really cool look inside of what exactly we do.
Well, that's pretty neat. I'll have to check it out and urge my listeners to go check it out as well and chip in a few bucks, and who knows. And
yep, it'd be awesome. We got a whole bunch of cool stuff up for grabs, t-shirts, stickers, stuff like that. So it's a pretty neat deal.
That sounds like it's turning out well. I just happened to catch it, and I was like, oh, let me go check this out. I have to ask her about it. So sure enough, we'll get you to ask about it. Of course, how is everything else seem to be going? And otherwise, just working on getting the car tuned up and new parts and all that kind of thing?
Yes, sir. We're working really hard on sponsorship right now. We hired a marketing firm out of North Carolina, and they've been getting us in front of people, and we've got to find some funding for our operation, or we won't be able to, you know, complete the full season. So we've been working really hard at that. And these last 2 weeks that I've been off, I've been following my sister's meal plan and workout plan, trying to just get back in shape and have a little normalcy in my life, a little routine, because it's certainly hard on the road. So other than that, not much. Friends getting married, so we went to an engagement party last week. I got a graduation party this weekend, so we keep our schedule pretty full.
That sounds like it. So how is your sister? Give her a plug, or she's still just doing teamwork now?
Yeah, she moved to Oklahoma and is working for our team full-time, but, you know, she comes on the road with us every week, and she, you know, supplies our cook with, you know, ingredients that he should be using to cook our meals for us, and then, you know, is pretty helpful in getting us in the gym and whatnot. So she's just very mindful of all of that, and it's very much needed when we're on the road racing, because, you know, the days are long, and it's just tiring out there. So she keeps us fed and in the best shape that she can. So if you want to follow her, she's Courtney Enders on Facebook and CE the PT on Instagram.
So she don't have you eating like rabbit food or anything like that? She does allow like
I'm from Texas. We eat meat. no, it's protein packed, lots of veggies. You know, you still need your carbs, so it's not like an Atkins type diet. You know, it's pretty important at the races. You know, when you're just go, and it's hot and you're sweating and you just, like, you're not in the mood to eat, but she, like, puts the right things in front of you to help your brain think better and your body perform better. So it's been really helpful to me on race day. Instead of just eating crap food and being sluggish, she's really helped me.
That's good. I guess it has helped your reaction time, because now you're down in the,
yeah,
the zero ones, and before you were running in – I think your slowest one in Houston was 0:33, and everything
else. Yeah, I
missed
it a little bit
there.
But yeah, she's been very helpful, and I definitely say that what I'm fueling my body with plays a big part in how I perform, just like any other athlete.
Well, that's I think most of it's mental, the rest is physical. It's usually 90% mental, 10% physical. And at least you have the ability and the talent to compete on a level that nobody else can, and that's just how does somebody not want to fund your team being you're the defending champ? That's what I don't understand.
I don't get it either, but we're going to continue to work at it and do the best that we can. I've certainly, the stars have aligned for us as far as people are concerned, and I've got the greatest team in the world. As cliche as that sounds, I mean, in 11 years of professional racing, I have never had a group like I have now, and I just feel pretty blessed. So I'm very hopeful that things come together, and I've got all the faith in the world that they will. I mean, we've worked really hard at it, and God's got a plan, so we'll see what it is.
That's for sure, because right now, with the two wins and under your belt, you've already gotten back to atop the points position, and I guess it can only make the gap bigger from there. I noticed the top nine vehicles are all Chevys, and Alan Johnson is the only one with a Dodge. When's he going to get on board and switch makes?
No, he won't. He's a Mopar boy through and through. So, and my husband's now driving a team car for him. So you'll see one other Dodge entry on some of the race entry lists. And but yeah, I mean, it just speaks volumes for Chevrolet and how awesome, we've all got the Camaros running right now.
I know, and just some. So hubby jumped ship, huh?
He did.
Uh-oh.
He sure did. He was a factory driver for Mopar back in 05, 06, and 07, and, kept those relationships strong. And, you know, it's all about money, unfortunately. And, he's got a couple of sponsors that are going to help him out for a handful of races this year. And Mopar's, helped him acquire a new car and a new body for his race car. And he's just kind of pieced that program together. So that's why he's over there now. So it's definitely an interesting environment. We had our first race on separate teams last weekend in Houston, and it was definitely different, that's for sure. Because, I mean, we're husband and wife, but at the racetrack, we're on opposing teams and don't share information, don't really spend a whole lot of time together. So it was very, very different.
It changes the dynamics of the pillow talk.
Yeah, that's for sure. There is none.
But, yeah, I could imagine. I guess coming from both being competitive, makes you understand why work behind the scenes when you can hop back in the car and that's, where most of the fun is. Everybody that does the hard work doesn't seem to enjoy the glory as much as the driver, because the driver's the one that actually kind of take what's given from the crew and make something of it. So I guess both of your competitive natures prompted him to go drive.
Yeah, he really enjoys driving, and he's pretty talented at it. So I'm glad he's back behind the wheel. I know he's going to have a lot of fun this year, and they don't make a much better person than Alan and Pam Johnson. Him and his wife are just great people and really good friends to Richie and I. So he'll have a good time over there, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it should be pretty interesting. Have you faced each other yet on the track?
No, we had to last year when we were teammates. We had to run against each other during qualifying a couple times, and then we actually had each other first round in Indy last year, and just kind of a sucky situation. But we ended up winning. I ended up beating him, and it's a bummer for him, but I was glad.
it's a hard
balance, I'll tell you that.
It's better to beat him in round one than it probably would have been worse for him if you beat him in the final.
Yeah, he probably would have been a little more upset, but oh well, part of the process.
Well, to be the champ, you have to beat the champ, and you're the champ, so.
Well, thanks.
And that's kind of the way it is, And you're looking, and you're getting everything figured out to where you can run hopefully you can run the full season and not have to take a different seed going into the countdown, because that kind of sucked to see that last year. But you did it at the last race in the final round of the season, and I'm sure you'll be able to do it again. So we'll have to keep an eye and check up on you out at Atlanta, and hope things go well there. I'd like to see you get that 3 in a row.
That'd be awesome.
Because I remember it was a couple weeks ago I had turned it on, and it's been tough to pick up on TV sometimes anymore. Too many other sports on, so when you finally do get to it, it's either late at night or early in the day.
Yep.
And being the NHRA doesn't usually run live except for maybe a couple events a year, which is always kind of strange at how that was done, but I guess due to all the things that go on between the runs that they need to edit all that out for, I guess, viewership.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and live TV is definitely cool if we could, you know, keep the fuel cars from oiling the track down and having all sorts of delays. It would definitely be live a lot more often. But we were live in Vegas and live in Houston, and everything went really well, but it makes for, you know, hectic turnarounds for the race teams in between rounds, because they speed up the process there because of TV. So it's definitely a challenge, but it's very cool for our sport.
No, definitely. So I guess we'll let you run, and we'll check up on in a few weeks, and keep us posted here on how things are going and life on the road from, I guess, till the end of the season again, and we'll promote more of your racinginred.com and sign up there and keep that out there for you.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for having me on, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
All righty. You take care, and it's always a pleasure having you on, and it makes the show a little more interesting.
Well, thank you. I enjoy it, so...
All right. Have a good one, and good luck in Atlanta.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. There you have it. Erica Ender Stevens, the Pro Stock champion. Come on, how could you not? How could you not sponsor a team that wins? I mean, that's the whole part about sponsoring a team. You want it. They need the money to win, and she's doing it without much. There's 18 races, and then 6 to the finale. And last year she ran away with 16 of those races and sat out and had a second seed going into the countdown to the championship. So it was kind of strange. See that, and but she pulled it off. Like I said, she went to the final round, winning against the person that she had to beat to keep the championship in the final. So she took home the little Wally, that doesn't sound right, and the big Wally for the championship. Like all their trophies are the same, so. Not like each track has a different trophy. Like in NASCAR, you got the Grandfather Clock. At Martinsville, you have Miles the Monster in Dover, and various other things at other places. So, just the way it goes. But that's part of life in the league there. So. That's how it is. Anyway, we'll take a quick break and be right back with more Garage Talk Live. So don't go away.
Casey's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cadence uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadencecandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cadence Candle.
And we're back here at Garage Talk Live. We should be joined shortly by Shauna Fadis on how she's doing in her long battle with cancer. She's on the mend. It should be just about at the light at the end of the tunnel for treatment-wise. So we'll see how she's doing. It's our first call into the show here at noon. Tuesdays at noon. Should I stay on at noon or not? Actually, noon is the best time. But anyway, Talladega, Dale Jr.'s the big winner. So he was able to get into the chase with his win. He was driving like a man possessed this time. He led six times for 67 laps, so he did get the bonus for leading the most. Jimmy Johnson led twice for 50 laps, so he was in second place, but then he wound up finishing second. Paul Menard was third. Brian Blaney was fourth. A good run for the rookie in the 21 car. So, good to see him move on up. Martin Truex Jr., another good run for him. Sam Hornish Jr., a great run for him. It's probably the best finish of the year. Newman was seventh. Eighth was Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, and tenth, Josh Wise in the 98 car. So a bunch of strange, not strange, different cast of characters at restricted plates in the top 10 usually. The one I actually picked, as a matter of fact, was Clint Bowyer, who didn't have as good a day as I would have hoped. He was up in the top 10 for a while, but then he got shuffled back. He did finish on the lead lap, but it's just one of those things. Looked like it was going to be another good day for Danica as well, Danica Patrick, and she kind of... her and Ricky Stenhouse both had transmission problems running fourth gear, so she wound up 21st. I know she was in the eighth place, but she wasn't able to hang on that way because you lose it on the pit stops if you can't get up to speed without three gears. Took 3 hours, 8 minutes, and 8 seconds. Average speed, 159.48. Margin of victory, 0.15. That's how tight it was. Usually you have a closer finish at the restrictor plate track. But couldn't because of the drafting and the side-by-side racing there, because one line gets a run and the other line didn't. But this way, Jimmy Johnson was able to, he was the closest finisher, so he was able to push Junior up past Paul Menard and Ryan Blaney. But it was good to see Junior get a win. It's, he's in the chase now. You figure he's a guy that won at Talladega 5 straight times. I think he can throw in Daytona a couple of times in that stretch when DEI was at its peak. But we'll more on that later. Right now, I'd like to welcome to the show my very special guest and friend, former Sprint Cup driver, Shauna Robinson. Shauna, how you doing there, girl?
Hey, Vince, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. You had a busy couple of weeks relocating. I hope everything is all settled in and you're all comfy and cozy.
I'm all settled in my house, but I have yet to move my business because I've got work to do. So when I finish up, I'm doing the Martin Truex Jr. Foundation Catwalk for a Cause. That's a lot of work, and so I'm going to just put off moving the business until I can get that project finished.
Wow. Now, are you going to be walking the runway as well?
Oh, no, I'm not walking the runway. I just do all the design and set up and kind of give the feel of the event. But I leave the walking to the runway to the kids. And then, of course, Sherry has models that it's a really fun event. A lot of people attend, and it's for a great cause for the kids.
That's good. So how was yours coming along? You're pretty much at the end of the season, right?
Actually, I did just I thought I had one more chemo left on May 11th, but my oncologist said, nope, I'm done. So she was scheduling to get my port removed, and they actually, before we do that, they do want to check another area. I'm a little worried, but not too much. I think it's going to be fine. So I'm doing another scan on the 14th, and then I'll hopefully be getting my port out and on my way to cancer-free.
Well, that's great to hear. Now, the port, what's that, like a little tube so they can shove the medicine in?
Yeah, it's like a little thing they put in you. It makes you kind of feel like an alien, but it's like a little thing that, so every time you get hooked up to your IVs, you don't have to get it in the, you know, a needle in the arm, or you don't have to get poked every time. It kind of just goes through there.
Gotcha. Yeah, it seemed like it'd be a little more convenient, even though it looks funny.
Yeah, definitely more convenient.
Oh, this in your arm?
It's in my upper right chest. My cancer was in my left lymph nodes and left breast. And I mean, I'm very, very fortunate and very blessed that I had I was HER2 positive, which is part of your blood work. And because of that, they really hit hard with chemo before going in to do any surgery, where a lot of times you hear women, when they hear they have breast cancer, the first thing you want to do is just get it out of there. So you want the double mastectomy, you just want to get it out of there and go from there. But so that's what I was going to do. And then when she found that I was HER2 positive, I was a candidate for the chemo first, and then surgery, then more chemo, and then radiation, and then more chemo, and then done. So I only had to have the lump removed, and then they had 18 lymph nodes removed, but everything went really well. So I didn't have any of that plastic, you know, I didn't have to get any surgery to recover from that for.
Good to hear. But when you hear somebody has the C word, we'll call it the C word.
Yeah.
And breast cancer is always, you kind of, you know.
There's so much,
it's
so
a big
much.
Worry.
You know, you just, it's all over the place. But they've really, really come a long way with treatment. And, you know, breast cancer is one of the ones that kind of at the top of the list for research. And so that just they've made such grounds on that, and I'm very fortunate that I'm one of the lucky ones that, you know,
just a few weeks, well, actually a few months after I was diagnosed in March of last year, my friend Sherry Pollitz was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And her being so young, still doing her maintenance chemo, but she's doing much better and has a wonderful attitude.
Well, that's good because, like you said, a young person there that you want to have kids and all that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was heartbreaking. I'll tell you, she's got a good attitude.
Well, that's a good thing. And, you know, but it's just that that's a nasty disease. And I don't know. I'm kind of skeptical sometimes because I think if they could, something they could have cured, but I'm thinking like the big drug companies don't want. There's no money in a cure, so they just want to keep treating it. And
when you're first told you have it, you know, it's like Charlie Brown. You don't hear anything after that word. And, of course, the thing, you know, you get on the computer and you watch documentaries, and it's scary. And there's so many questions of, like, is chemo the right thing to do? A lot of people now are, you know, doing the plant-based food diets and it's just, of course, you know, it's whatever your choice is and whichever. I really was very comfortable with my oncologist and her treatment process for me. I had trust in her, and so I just kind of let it all go and then stopped getting online and stopped. I just felt like, you know, God was on my side, and whatever I felt to do, he was going to be there with me. So I've been very lucky.
And that's for sure. And hopefully now you're happy and healthy and is the hair grown back yet, or are you still doing the wig thing?
Yeah, I'm not doing the wigs anymore. The hair's growing. It's like, doesn't seem to be growing too fast, but hey, at least it's growing. It's a little, you know, pixie cut. You kind of feel, well, you know what? I think short hair is very confident for a woman. So if you can carry confidence, I think it doesn't matter what your hair looks like. I mean, the being bald part was hard. It took me a while before I even started wearing wigs. I wasn't real comfortable with them. Then I had fun with them at the end, and then now I'm just, it's easy when I, you know, I haven't used a blow dryer or even a brush because I can just, like, wash it and go, and easy to do. It doesn't take me long to get ready.
That's just it. Shampoo is about a two-minute process.
Yeah, it was great when I was actually using shampoo again. So, you know, you go a year without using shampoo, and it's like, oh, my God, I'm buying shampoo. So, it's all great.
I remember being in boot camp when they used to buzz your head down the stubs, and what you did was soap off, so you know, showers didn't take long then.
Yep.
But, so, you had a big move, a few things. I got your text last night.
I had a lot. The whole year, really last year, through the process of going through treatment, I was working really a lot, and that really helped me get through it. And I did a great project in Florida on Amelia Island for Ray and Aaron Evernham, and a beautiful remodel on their condo, and it turned out amazing. And so that's keeping me busy. I always do a lot of decorating for Truex, and I'm just starting a new build project for Justin Marks, who's located up here in Mooresville, and they're building a house on the water, and I'm doing the design from startup on that. So I'm staying really busy, and it's all good. And then I'm still on the appeals board for NASCAR. I'm going to go to the Charlotte race finally. I haven't been to the racetrack in a while, so I'm looking forward to that.
That's good.
Anyway, life is good.
For sure. I mean, it's good that keeping busy takes your mind off of things. They ought to get you a show on home HGTV or DIY.
I think I was just always ahead of my time on stuff. You know, as a driver, I was definitely ahead of my time. You know, social media didn't even exist, and it was a different time then. And it seemed like when I figured I would probably be in broadcasting in some way, and I think I was just a little bit ahead of that movement, that I don't know why I never really ended up there. Maybe they just thought I wasn't interested, but no, I would love to be involved in racing in whatever way I can. It was a huge part of my life, and even when I retired, I was struggling with doing that. And I, you know, I go back and say, darn, if I just would have, 2005 is when I kind of got out of it, and if I didn't, you know, would have put a little bit more, could have been a totally different world. But, man, all the stuff I got to do and all the things I got to experience, I can't complain.
I remember when you got out of it, because I was hoping to catch up with you in Dover, and
that last deal I was in, that last team deal I was in, we just really, you're not passionate about what you're doing. I've always been very passionate. I'm very fortunate to have two passions in my life with this career now, but I was with a team that the equipment, I wasn't there to start and park or to ride in the back. I wanted to be competitive and I wanted to, and I just didn't even feel safe in their equipment. And at that point, my kids were growing, baseball and sports, and it was like, why? I don't want to be on the racetrack if I'm not out there to compete. And I didn't have that type of equipment, and just a bad way to end out, but you know, what happened? Yeah.
That's for sure, but I'm just amazed at the way the young ladies coming up in the sport today don't have that chance, can't get that sponsorship to move up. I mean, you look at Danica, she's made the jump from Indy to NASCAR, and now she's losing GoDaddy, it was announced. So is she still going to stay with NASCAR, or is somebody going to help pick her up? Or
I wouldn't think she would have any problem at all getting a sponsor. She just had that relationship with GoDaddy for so long. It's just going to seem odd that she doesn't. But I honestly don't know. But I would say there's no question that somebody would jump right on that sponsorship.
And then now you look at some of the young girls like Johanna Long, who had a brief run in Nationwide a couple of years ago. Now it's Xfinity, but.
You look at all the young guys. I mean, there's so many young drivers. I mean, look at Ryan Blaney and how well he's doing. Kyle Larson, all these drivers are so young. So I think you're going to see another girl come in under Danica. Obviously, it could end up being Kelly Earnhardt's daughter, for all we know. She's a racer, and actually I think both of her girls race. And, you know, Kelly was quite a driver. She just chose to be the business side of things, and but Carson is becoming quite the driver. So I think in the future, you're going to see more girls. It's tough whether you're male or female.
At least Kelly, Junior Motorsports is good equipment. They got some of that Hendrick stuff that they use. So it kind of helps them out. I had an ARCA driver on last week, a young girl from British Columbia. In her rookie season in ARCA, she has not finished lower outside of Daytona than 15th. And at Talladega, she pulled an 8th.
Really? I have to look her up. What's her name?
Her name is Sarah Cornett Ching.
I'll have to look at her. Huh.
And,
that's good. That's good for her. It sounds like she's got some good equipment.
And when she first came on, I had her on after Daytona because one of my friends out there said, hey, you want to try to get her on? I said, okay, sure. And she was able to come on the next day, and she was only going to schedule to run. This Talladega was supposed to be her second race. So she called up when she came on the show. So I was asking her, what her schedule was. She was going to do the TV race at Daytona, Talladega, and some of the other high-profile ones. And then after that, within a few days, she was announced that she was able to run the full season. Some stuff came together, and up until yesterday, she was no lower than 15th.
That's great.
I mean, of course, she hadn't been on the lead lap yet, but she wound up finishing 8th there, and she went from 9th to 7th in the ARCA points, which is pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's good. Just the seat time, I think any driver that can run a full schedule and whatever, don't make the jump to the next level until, get as much seat time as you can in whatever division it is that you can get it in. And running a full season is huge because it's really, really tough to be competitive when you're running part-time. You learn so much every track, every race. You get better. So if you're not in that seat, it just takes a lot longer to climb that ladder.
That's right.
So
but
like
here's the thing, though. Don't you think they rest these kids up a little too quick?
Oh, I don't know. You could definitely say that. I mean, I'm looking at just like Ryan Blaney I mentioned before. I mean, he's obviously got the talent and ability and racing in his family. And I don't know. I just think get seat time wherever you can. You know, a lot of these, like these girls now that are running short tracks, you know, I've always thought if you can run dirt and asphalt, you're going to be a better driver when you get to Speedway. So, you know, I guess it's just sometimes people get the doors open because they bring the money. And, you know, there's a lot of talented drivers that don't get that chance because they don't have those sponsorships. You know, you don't see them. So, yeah, a lot of times you see a lot of them up there that maybe have those opportunities because of the money.
That's
but regardless, you still got to be a driver.
That's true. And so you figure some of them have the money and wind up wrecking halfway through the race most of the time or taking out other people. I won't
mention
anything. Yeah, I think
the money will only take you so far. It definitely helps, no question about it. But, you know, you got to have the talent to stay in there.
I mean, I've looked at, like, Paul Menard for a while there. Look how long it took him to get a win. But, of course, it was the Brickyard. But it seems that some of these people, then you get your phenoms like Kyle Larson, who they rush on up to the Cup Series. Will they give him time to get to where he should be? Because look what they did with Joey Logano when he first started. He was, they said, the next thing since sliced bread, and took him a while to get acclimated to the Cup Series. So that's the thing I question is why they bring him up so early.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not going to disagree with you on that.
But anyway, have you been able to catch any of the racing otherwise just on TV?
Actually, I didn't watch Talladega. I watched Bristol. I occasionally, actually, when I moved, I didn't even get my TVs hooked up, and it was actually kind of enjoyable. So I think I enjoyed not having that noise. And but now I'm going to go to Charlotte, and you know, I still love racing. And you can't get it out of your blood once you got it in there.
That's for sure. And you've had it in there for a good while, so
many years.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know, on Facebook, I don't know if you saw, but they did a reunion exhibition race for the Gator Trucks at Weedsport Speedway. And a lot of the drivers that I raced with, Dick Murtaugh, Charlie Baker, when I was, you know, 18 and 19, that's what I raced. And I would love to have been a part of that, but I didn't even hear about it until like the day before, so I couldn't get up there, but they said they're going to do it again, and I'll definitely get an invite. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that is something, racing a big truck as opposed to a car. I mean,
hey, I'm telling you what, I got so much good experience by doing that because those things are heavy. They're modified. They're not like right off the street, but it's the fact that I would run a dirt track one weekend, a speedway the next, asphalt, dirt. I mean, it was like constantly change. You never ran the same racetrack all the time. So I can't, I mean, when I got into stock cars, I had definitely adapted to them well because from heavyweight to lightweight, where usually people go from go-karts to, you know, heavier cars. So it was
right.
A good way for me to learn.
That's cool. Yeah, that's a shame they found out about it a day late or, you know, not soon enough.
Yeah, I didn't, I'm not on Facebook all the time. I have my moments. Like when I was packing and finding photographs, I was like, oh my God, I have to put this box away. But yeah, I get on there every once in a while.
Well, you know, you have to. That was pretty neat seeing you bring back your memories and the one you posted last night, that was the little Iowa girl I expected.
Yeah, the little Iowa girl with her horse. Yeah, seeing that side of me. I thought the one that was really cool that I found that I had forgotten all about was the one with Janet Guthrie, Lynn St. James, and me at one of the Women Sports Foundations. That was a pretty cool picture. I'm thinking,
yeah,
how come I don't have this framed?
You should.
So I got to get that thing out and frame it, put it on my wall, because it's still in the box. I had to close the box and move on.
Now you got to go find it again.
Yeah, now I got to go find it again.
Like you're talking about packing on the thing. I said, unpacking takes longer than packing.
Yeah, I know. Definitely does. But I got the house all set up and good to go. Just got to get that shop together so I can start creating again. I haven't created in quite a while. So I'm looking forward to that.
And do you want to promote your new website? You had a new business venture.
Yeah, that would be great.
Well, tell us about it.
I'll have to create something for you.
Okay, I thought you had a new website that came out.
No, it's still my same one, ShaunaRobinson.com. It'll take you to Happy Chair and all that stuff.
Well, that's cool. Well, we're glad you're all just about cancer-free and settled into your new place.
Yeah, I'll keep you updated on my final process here, but it's always good talking to you. I enjoy it so much.
Well, it's even more fun talking to you off air as well. Then
yeah.
You really get down and we can talk some stuff. But well, it's a pleasure having you on. To definitely meet up someday in person.
Yes, we do need to do that.
Well,
so it sounds
drive
good.
After I saw your text last night, I was going to text you back, who I got to lump up for you.
You're always fun. We'll have to definitely get together sometime soon.
All righty. Sounds good. So
okay. You
take care, and we'll be in touch, of course.
Okay. Sounds good. I'll talk
all
to you
right.
later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you have Shauna Robinson, former Sprint Cup Series driver, and my good friend. True, believe it or not, we've never met face-to-face, but it seems like we've known each other for years. And just one of those connections you make through the space-time continuum and anything. But anyway, back in the Cup series, we got a few minutes left here. And, of course, the team's going out to Kansas this week. But Dale Jr. did take the win, putting him in the chase. That puts Kevin Harvick, Jimmy Johnson, they have two wins apiece. Joey Logano's got a win in there. Brad Keselowski's got a win. Now Jr., we're still waiting for Jeff Gordon. Kenseth actually got the win early this year, where last year he didn't get one. And Kurt Busch, all your race winners for the 2015 season. But the top 16, according to points, is Harvick up at the top, then Truex, Jimmy Johnson third, Joey Logano fourth. Junior is fifth. Brad K is sixth. Jamie McMurray, the seventh. Eighth is Matt Kenseth. Ninth is Casey Kane. Tenth is Denny Hamlin. 11th, Paul Menard. 12th, Eric Amarola. 13th is Jeff Gordon. 14th, Ryan Newman. 15th, Kurt Busch. And 16th, believe it or not, Danica Patrick in the top 16 in Sprint Cup points. So, of course, all that shuffles around with the wins coming at the top, and then your highest point getters below that. And that's how they're run. There was only six cautions for 23 laps. Pretty clean for Talladega. There was a red flag. There was a red flag for 11 minutes and 32 seconds, which kind of stretched the race time out. For 27 lead changes amongst 15 drivers. Jeff Gordon led early. He was a pole sitter. But he wound up getting spun towards the end there after getting shuffled back and had a tire problem, a pit road problem, which also set him back in the pack. So he was unable to towards the front, but that's what happened to Talladega. And he led six times for 47 laps in the early part of the race. But it looked like the dominant three cars in the race were Hendrick Motorsports with junior Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon. So they were going pretty good. Well, let's take a look at Kansas. This race last year was actually won by Jeff Gordon. And the top five, even Danica had a good day. She was seventh. It was probably one of her best finishes of her career. So you had Gordon Harvick, King, Joey Logano Jr., Edwards, home track for Carl Edwards and Clint Boyer. Danica, 7th, 8th, Amarola, 9th, Jimmy Johnson, and 10th, Matt Kenseth. So you have all your Hendrick cars in the top 10. And that was race one. If you look back at race two in the chase, dynamics were a little different, but you had Logano, so he looks like your one constant. Kyle Busch was third. He's still out with an injury. You had Carl Edwards. He wound up fifth. Who else? I think I'm looking at the top ten. I don't see any Hendrick cars, but there are a lot of. You have Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch, and you're looking at Joe Gibbs cars and Kenseth. So that's three Gibbs cars up that way. But Kenseth was 13th, but it was close enough to the front. So, based on that, I'm going to make my pick and go out on a limb like I did last week. Pick one of the hometown boys. No, it won't be Clint Boyer. I picked him last week, and while he was running good, he didn't quite get it done. So we're going to go with Carl Edwards. Maybe cousin Carl can take the home race and make the chase. Anyway, that's about all the time we have for today. See you next week. Check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/GarageTalkLive. Give it a like, and I'll be looking to book some guests for next week. So we'll find out who's going to be on and go from there. I'm going to like to thank my very special guests today, Erica Ender Stevens and Shauna Robinson, for coming on, and we'll see you all next week. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Good day and good racing. You come out.